The novel coronavirus outbreak in China has caused massive disruption to businesses up and down the country, who are reporting severe shortages in workers and disruption to supply chains. Many foreign businesses now find their Chinese partners claiming a force majeure defense to seek emergency exemptions to contracts as they are unable to deliver goods and services on time. Should these exemptions be granted? Must they? Or should foreign companies sue instead? And perhaps most importantly, would they win? I'm Vincent Chow, a reporter at China Law and Practice and host of the China Law Podcast, a weekly podcast exploring China's business and financial sectors from a legal perspective, brought to you by LegalSpeak. With me today to discuss these critical questions is Edward Liu, a legal director advising on disputes and maritime law matters at Hill Dickinson here in Hong Kong. Dual qualified in both England and Wales and in China, Edward is the perfect person to talk to today, given the crucial importance of a contract's governing law for a force majeure defense, as you'll hear later. In this episode, Edward will share his analysis of how different courts assess force majeure, the importance of contract language, as well as the role of the Chinese government. Edward is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure you'll find his analysis insightful and useful, especially his practical advice on the steps you should take when faced with a force majeure claim. Edward, welcome to the China Law Podcast.
Thank you.
First off, can you explain what force majeure is?
Actually, this is a French term, actually. In English, I think it's more accurate to say it as a superior force, which means that it's a really external force to make the people cannot no longer or perform the contract, the contractual obligations. But very interestingly, that under English law, there's no such concept of a force majeure. That means unless the parties have expressly agreed in their contract to make an operative force majeure clause, then they cannot rely on the force majeure event to seek an exemption of their liabilities or the contractual performance. But on the other hand, under Chinese law or the civil law system, there is indeed a force majeure concept. One is the general principles of the civil law of the People's Republic of China. In Article 153, it says, for the purpose of this law, the force majeure means unforeseeable, unavoidable, and insurmountable objective conditions. That is a very simple but very straightforward definition of force majeure. And then the other law is the PRC contract law. First is Article 117. It says a party who is unable to perform a contract due to force majeure is exempted from liability in part or in whole in light of the impact of the event of force majeure, except otherwise provided by law. Where an event of force majeure occurs after the party's delay in performance, it is not exempted from such liability. For purposes of this law, force majeure means any objective circumstances which are unforeseeable, unavoidable, and insurmountable. So that is the basic definition.
Let's drill down on the Chinese law part of this. Is there general consensus that the current outbreak is a force majeure event?
On 10th February 2020, a spokesperson of Commission of Legislative Affairs of the National People's Congress Standing Committee, which is the topmost legislative council of China, when he answers question about whether the relevant issues encountered by the Chinese companies and factories constitute a force majeure event, his answer is that for the parties who are unable to perform the contract, the epidemic is an unforeseeable, unavoidable, and insurmountable force majeure. And then he referred to the contract law, the articles which I just mentioned, and saying that that the parties could be exempted from performing contracts in part or in whole due to the event of the force majeure. So I think from the Chinese government's perspective, at least, the coronavirus outbreak would constitute a force majeure event for the purpose of facilitating, not necessarily the Chinese companies, but the companies who has encountered the difficulties because of the coronavirus outbreak. There is a Chinese organization named the China Council for the Promotion of International Trade, the CCPIT, which is actually officially credited by the Ministry of Commerce of the PRC, have decided to issue the force majeure certificates to the companies who have the difficulties. The companies have to apply for the certificate, and upon the assessment of the CCPIT, then the certificate would be issued.
So you are a Chinese party, and you have the certificate and your own government saying this is a force majeure event, and you want to claim force majeure. What are some of the other hurdles you can expect to face under a force majeure clause in a contract?
First of all, that you have to look at the governing law of your contract, right? That whether it is a Chinese law, or whether it is English law, or any other laws. But of course, for the international commodities contract or shipping contracts, basically parties prefer to choose English law or other common law to be the governing law, like Hong Kong law or Singapore law. Again, as I said, that there's no concept of force majeure, and it's really subject to whether there's an express clause of force majeure in your contract. Then that is the first you have to look at it. Second, if luckily enough that you have the force majeure clause in your contract, and then you would look into the terms of the force majeure, that whether the scope of the clause covers the epidemics. Of course, people would say that it's not really necessary for the force majeure to expressly say there's an epidemic. I believe there's no mentioning at all for the coronavirus, right? Because it's if there's a really mentioning about coronavirus, then it's definitely foreseeable. So basically, people would say epidemics or other terms equivalent to epidemics. Oh, on the other hand, even there's no epidemics term in your contract, probably you still can see that whether the clause refer to, for example, act of God, or for example, the requirements of government authorities, or the lockouts or other labor disturbance, or labor shortage, or delays or failure in transportation, the shortage of materials, machinery, or equipment. Basically, the subtenses, as you just mentioned in the introduction, that the difficulties caused by the outbreak of the coronavirus.
So it cannot just be assumed that because this is force majeure, according to the government, then you are automatically relieved from your contractual obligations. You still need to show evidence of how the outbreak has affected your operations, right? For example, documents showing labor shortages or quarantine measures.
Yeah, all because of the local government's protection and the control measures adopted. They ordered the factories that you cannot resume operation.
Would the contract or the Chinese law say you must provide this evidence to your foreign counterparty within a certain time period?
Yeah, that's true. That basically a well-drafted force majeure clause. Also, that normally you would see from the force majeure clause that they require the party affected to serve the notice to the other party of the force majeure event. That is basically an obligation if that is required in the clause. And you have to tell the other party in the reasonable period. Of course, whether it is reasonable or not is, again, a matter of fact. For example, like in this time, the coronavirus, I think for the reasonable period is really, for example, the Chinese government said that the affected area have to be blocked. And then you see that because of the blockage, then your production or the normal operation is affected. Or after, as I said, that after the Chinese New Year holidays, you see that even no workers would come back to your factory, to your company. Then it was quite clear to you that your performance of the contract is disrupted. Then you can notify the other side. Right. Then that's probably reasonable.
So China is clearly a very big place, right? So for different companies, the impact of the outbreak will be different depending on where they are and what they do. A company in Wuhan will be much more disrupted than a company, let's say, in Beijing or somewhere with not that many cases. Does that mean that different companies will have different levels of obligations in terms of showing what they've done to mitigate the effects of the outbreak?
Yes, exactly. For example, as you said, that Wuhan city, even now, they still basically closed. And no companies, no factories are allowed to resume work, except for the very special extraordinary circumstances. For example, I know that some of the factories, even in Wuhan or Hubei province, they are allowed to resume their work because they are the face masking, the masks factory. They need to produce that. Then that is allowed. But for the other companies, you would see the recent news that the Chinese government are now encouraging the companies and factories in the less serious affected places to resume work as soon as possible. Then I would say that it definitely depends on the place that you're based and the extent of the impact of the coronavirus. But on the other hand, for example, if it happens in Shanghai or somewhere else, as you mentioned, then they can resume the work. And even they are required to deliver the goods by the end of February and it's impossible, then there will be a delay. And you can notify the other side, okay, because of coronavirus, that we could not resume the work from, for example, 22nd January until the 10th February. To make it clear, probably you are not allowed to terminate the contract, but to delay the contract.
Right, so this touches on what rights and remedies the recipient of the force majeure notice have. As you say, this outbreak might delay performance for some companies, but not be that disruptive, whereby performance cannot be done at a later stage. If a foreign party believes a Chinese counterparty has been disrupted, yes, but has not been disrupted enough to terminate the contract, but that is what the Chinese party wants. Does the foreign party have a case?
Yes, I think so. This is really a topical issue. Based on my experience, most of the parties would prefer to negotiate to settle the disputes. Because on one side, that affected party would have a very good case, the initial case, saying that, okay, there's a force majeure event. But on the other hand, if the parties are still prefer to perform their contract, then they will try their best to negotiate, to see that whether they can mitigate or to avoid the termination of the contract and continue the performance.
So under Chinese law, parties are obliged to try their best to avoid terminating the contract. They cannot just put their hands up and say it's force majeure, let's terminate.
Exactly. So basically, under Chinese law, to prove that there is a real force majeure event, that's the only first step. The second step, as we just mentioned, you have to notify the other side of the force majeure event within the reasonable period. And the third requirement is that you have to take the reasonable efforts to mitigate or try to reduce the impact of the force majeure event. For example, I've already called my staffs to come back and to resume the normal operation or production. Then you would have a better arguable case against the other side. But on the other hand, again, the other side, who is outside China, then they would also assess the real circumstances, seeing that whether it's really affected by the coronavirus.
So what is the importance of the governing law? Is it the case that if your dispute is going to be fought in China because the contract is governed by Chinese law, then the likelihood of your force majeure defense being successful will be higher?
If there's a force majeure clause, from my experience, that either it is an English law court or the Chinese law court, they will respect the party's autonomy, i.e. the terms that they agreed, that to first to see that whether the alleged event is really satisfactory to the terms of the force majeure clause. Under the English law, of course, as I just mentioned, there's no defined concept of force majeure. In the absence of the force majeure clause, then the parties have to rely on the concept of frustration, which is a common law doctrine. But to succeed in the frustration defense, there are a lot of requirements for you to frustrate the contract.
Can you just explain what frustration means? Is it similar to force majeure?
The unforeseeable, unavoidable, and insurmountable are basically the concept of frustration as well, but frustration is more than that. For the English courts, they will see that whether the event goes to the root of the contract and making the parties impossible to perform the contract, then that would be a frustration.
So in Chinese law, as you said, there's a statute, the PRC contract law, which specifically provides for force majeure. Does that mean if a contract governed by Chinese law does not have a force majeure clause, then force majeure will still be relevant?
Yes, because that is under the law. Then even the contract is silent about force majeure, and then the parties can still invoke the contract law to seek help.
In terms of those government-issued force majeure certificates you mentioned earlier, issued by the CCPIT, What is their importance in a Chinese court versus their importance in a foreign court or even a foreign arbitration tribunal?
It really depends on which jurisdiction you are going to use the certificate. My presumption is that it's very easy for the Chinese court to accept it, the validity of the certificate. But again, as I mentioned, that's the only first step. Even you can establish there's a force majeure event, the party relying on it still have to prove what I said, the other conditions of your force majeure clause, all under the law, like the mitigation and the notice. If, for example, it is an international contract and the law is English law, and then you choose, for example, Hong Kong arbitration or English High Court, then what is the attitude of the common law perspective to see the certificate? I would say that it is a prima facie evidence to prove that there's indeed a force majeure event, or at least is highly persuasive. As long as it's not conclusive, then that means it is a rebuttal by the other side if they can prove it is not force majeure event. Of course, probably a certificate for a Wuhan company, it may be already a conclusive evidence. But for example, if it is in Zhejiang, then even you can say, okay, for that period, there was indeed force majeure event. Then whether after that, there was a still force majeure event, that is should be a question mark there.
Let's say the English court or arbitration tribunal rules against the Chinese party. Then the foreign party has to seek enforcement of the judgment or award in China. How will that play out?
If it is an arbitration award, for example, the award is issued by the Hong Kong arbitration tribunal or the London arbitration tribunal, then as we all know that China is a state party of the New York Convention, which is relevant to the enforcement and recognition of the foreign arbitral awards, then they will still assess the enforcement of the foreign awards as per the criteria of the New York Convention. First of all, that for enforcing a foreign award under the New York Convention, the error of fact is not ground for appeal for the challenge of the enforcement. Therefore, that if the foreign tribunal, like the Hong Kong tribunal, refused to accept there was a force majeure event, then that is the funding of the arbitral tribunal. Then it's not open to the party, to the losing party, to challenge that award in the Chinese court.
But doesn't China sometimes refuse to enforce foreign awards based on public policy grounds, despite the New York Convention?
My view is unlikely. First of all, I think that the Chinese courts are now more and more arbitration friendly. Second, if the contract is subject to English law, for example, or Hong Kong law, again, as we just discussed, whether there's an established force majeure event, that is an English law or Hong Kong law issue, rather than the Chinese law issue. And also, it's very interesting to note, you know, there was an announcement by the CCPIT. They also say that for issuing the certificate, it's only to certify there's a force majeure event.
Right, that's an important point to highlight, especially because CTAC, the China International Economic and Trade Arbitration Commission, is under the auspices of the CCPIT, the body issuing the certificates. So perhaps we can expect CTAC to view the certificates in a similar way. I want to ask you now about the disputes we saw as a result of the SARS outbreak more than a decade ago. What lessons can we take away from that period?
There was a case named the JPI Travel USA and Changjiang Overseas Cruise Travel. That case was reported in 2007. And in this case, the parties entered into charter party that the respondent chartered cruises to the claimant for providing tour service at the Changjiang River. But due to the SARS, the claimant claimed the force majeure, purported to terminate the contract and cease providing cruise service. And the Chinese court in this case, the SARS issue, the SARS was unforeseeable, unavoidable, and insurmountable, and constitute force majeure. Of course, China is not a common law jurisdiction. The decisions by the Chinese court, even the Supreme People's Court, are not, technically speaking, not binding, but it's still persuasive, and it's a good reference. And then according to the relevant force majeure clause in that particular case, the affected party should give a 6 months prior notice. So again, there's a notice requirement. The force majeure clause stated that when there was event causing the cruise to lose navigation or major change in the tourism market, that the parties could not perform the contract the affected party had a right to suspend the charter or request a reduction or exemption of hire, but not the right to terminate the charter automatically, unilaterally. Therefore, the Chinese court said that the impact of SARS had not reached to the extent that the purpose of the contract could not be achieved, but also because the claimant did not give sufficient notice, and there was no right to terminate the charter party and the relevant force majeure clause. Then the claimant could not terminate the charter party on the ground of force majeure and amounted to a breach of the contract because they decided to terminate the charter party. The court respects the autonomy of the parties and the contract.
So in this case, the court established that the Chinese party did not have the right to terminate the contract due to SARS. Did the party have other options available for seeking relief from their contractual obligations under Chinese law?
Well, there's another concept under Chinese law and also most of the civil law jurisdictions named change of substances. Basically, you can see from the terms that the substances are substantially changed from the time when the parties were negotiating the contract. But again, the hurdle of succeeding in this defense is very high. And it's not necessary for the parties to have such clause in the contract. Because again, it's a statutory term under the relevant laws, including the contract law. But because of this concept, the Chinese parties always try to rely on it as a last resort if they are really encountering the problems. What the difference of the change of substances and force majeure, you can see, is that force majeure does not cover anything about change of the market, because that is the bargain of the contract. When you think at the time of fixing the contract, you say that you can deliver, for example, the goods at the price of 100 Hong Kong dollars. Then later on, 2 months later, then you found, okay, that the rate is only 20, then there will be a substantial loss. That is a bad bargain. That does not mean that you can escape from the liability of the contract. Otherwise, there will be no contract. So that is not covered by the force majeure. But probably, under Chinese law, you can argue for the change of substances. But again, it's really subject to which law is governing law of your contract. Under English law, there's no such concept of change of substances.
What lessons can lawyers and businesses draw from the current coronavirus outbreak period for drafting future contracts? Clearly, the governing law is an important consideration, right? We've mentioned that several times during this podcast. But what about the force majeure clause itself? Would you recommend it being more specifically written or more general?
Well, I think it should be more specific as much as possible. And the well-drafting terms are very necessary for both parties' interests because it's less controversial, less disputes. For example, if there's a listed event in the clause, then it's much easier for you to argue whether there's an event or not. And second, if there is an express requirement for the notice, then it is less controversial than whether the party, affected party, have to send the notice. And then again, mitigation, that whether you have to mitigate your loss. So that is very important. And from a practical perspective, I would like to say some practical tips. First, if there's again, outbreak, of course, hopefully there's no more, but if there's any further outbreak of epidemics, you have to review the contractual terms, and in particular the force majeure clause, that whether the application of such clause covers the epidemic event. What obligations are need to be fulfilled to invoke force majeure? And second, I think it's necessary to collect and sort out the evidence for force majeure event and the delay or obstruction of the performance of contractual obligations resulting from such event, and assess whether the relevant evidence is sufficient to support the establishment of force majeure event, and whether the delay or obstruction for performance was indeed caused by a force majeure event. And third, I think it's necessary to consider whether the epidemic situation will affect the supply chain and formulate or make emergency plans or measures in a timely manner. And this is no longer a legal issue, but from a commercial perspective, I think it's very necessary for the commercial parties to do it. And fourthly, I think it's necessary to consider and adopt appropriate mitigating measures to avoid or reduce the impact on the contractual performance. And last but not least, seek legal advice as soon as possible.
Thank you so much, Edward, and thank you for listening to the China Law Podcast, a weekly discussion of China's business and financial sectors from a legal perspective, brought to you by LegalSpeak. Join us next week when we will have the employment lead at Baker McKenzie's China practice, Jonathan Isaacs, to discuss all things employment related amid the coronavirus outbreak, which unfortunately still has no end in sight. Make sure to subscribe to our website chinalawandpractice.com to keep up to date with the latest Chinese legal and business news through our weekly newsletters, news roundups, and expert analysis from our network of leading lawyers and in-house counsel. Be sure also to go to law.com international to stay up to date with the latest legal industry news around the world. Stay tuned and thanks again for listening.